Psalm 13, 14, and 15 seems to be a progression of thinking. And you remember, really, the Psalms are what I call David's journal. Amen? The Psalms are like David's journal. He talks to God, but he lets you in on it because God put this into the Bible. And Scripture tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. Well, I thought David sinned and did all kinds of stuff. Well, he's pretty much like you and me. He's just a person. And people have a sin nature at birth. But then Jesus came to redeem us and give us power over sin. We live in power over sin. Did you know that? You live in power over sin. Romans chapter 6 says, sin shall not have dominion over you. He says, reckon yourself. Romans 6:11. Reckon yourself. Write it down about yourself. Write your own story. Reckon yourselves dead unto sin and alive unto God. I just sinned 4 times. No, you're dead unto sin. No, it don't appear to be. No, see, you're looking at. We're studying James in our Saturday night house church, and we're looking at James chapter 1. Says you're looking in the wrong mirror. You're looking in the mirror, and you forgot who you were. You're looking in the mirror. Look in the mirror of the Word of God. And that tells you who you are, right? Andrew, right? He's reading the Word of God. The Word of God is, the mirror is creating his picture. He's looking in that mirror. That's the mirror that you look at. It's the one that shows you who you are. And so when David is writing these Psalms, you'll notice that he goes from bad news to good news, right? He goes from bad news to good news. Oh, God, it's terrible. To, hey, God's on my side. Everything's going my way. I'm doing that with my mother-in-law. Yeah, Janet said I preached to her last week because she was having it on the Facebook thing, because we do the Fort Worth message on Facebook, you know. We run it, stream it. And so she had her mother and the caregiver over at the house. And so actually I said a few things that were talking about her. I hope I was sweet. And talking about her memory and what all. But then I would tell her, don't say this, say that. You know, she loves Jesus. She's a born again Christian. But she doesn't know how to take the word and make it truth. Make the good news, good news for her. And that's one of the things. You don't just get saved to go to heaven. And so many evangelicals do that. And then they just struggle, you know. They just struggle to well, I guess I got to live a good life and what all. No. And some do. Some just read the word and they get changed. And that is awesome. That is so good. But sometimes we got folks who get saved and all they're doing is just trying to claw to heaven. In some form, you know. Now, they're blessed. They get blessed. God blesses them somehow. But their minds are not renewed to God's finished work. Amen? David learned how to do that. David learned how to not let his sin bury him. You know, I've talked about before. Guilt and sin will weigh. It takes a lot of your ministry away. Guilt and sin takes a lot of your ministry away because the enemy has just got you over here. It's like I tell you, it's like a little eddy. You're flowing down the river, and all of a sudden, a leaf is flowing down the river, and it just gets caught in a little whirlpool, and it just stays there. It never moves on down. And so that's what I'm saying is that's like guilt and condemnation. It gets you stuck. And you never continue in the flow of the Word of God and of the life of God because you're stuck in a place and you don't get out.
In the wilderness.
Yeah, you're stuck in a wilderness. Yeah, and you're right by the river. You're right here. It's flowing on by. You're watching them all go, wow, God, I wish I could do that. And you're just stuck right here. You know, and all you need is just say, Jesus, get me out. I thank you that I'm forgiven. Every illustration falls apart somewhere. So, I mean, it's not a perfect illustration. But God will get you out of that little eddy. out of that little whirlpool, and he'll put you right back in that river. God, thank you that I'm forgiven. Thank you that I'm forgiven. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that everything is, you've taken care of everything. Every sin that I ever sinned. Or maybe you're bound up in unforgiveness. People get bound up in unforgiveness and they can't get out of it. I just can't ever forgive what they did. Well, you know, I mean, you can read the Bible. What does the Bible say? It said, you know, the guy who was forgiven a multi-billion-dollar debt and he won't, and he's going to hell for 10 bucks. Because he won't forgive his brother. He won't forgive his brother for 10 bucks. I mean, you know, you give it away. Let it go. Amen. And again, this is not about salvation issue. It's about growth. It's about the enemy curtailing your ministry and your ability to have a powerful ministry in the world. Because all you're interested in is who did what to you and or how guilty you feel over what you did. Because God forgave it a long time ago. God forgave it. David knew that God loved him. David knew that God loved him. And he forgave him.
Amen.
Now he knew to repent. But he knew that God forgave him when he repented. Amen? And you forgive. Get free from whatever it is that you're holding on to against somebody. How many know you cannot be offended? In Christ Jesus. How many know Jesus was offended? He had every opportunity to be offended every single day. He had an opportunity to be offended by people. But he chose compassion. He chose mercy. He chose love. How many know people who will not forgive something? They have just refused to forgive something. And you got to tell them, in the name of Jesus, you got to forgive or you're going to die. Now, I don't know how they're going to die. I don't know. Yeah, just scare them. Do something to them. Scare them. Amen. Is that you forgive. 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 Especially if they're a Christian. Yeah. I mean, if they're not a Christian, tell them to forgive anyway. That'll be helpful to them. They'll make millions of dollars in business if they'll just forgive instead of even if they're not a Christian. Just forgiving people, you will flow in the river of God's goodness.
Amen.
And then hopefully somebody will witness to you and you get saved. Maybe the guy that you forgave will get saved. But you, as a Christian, you're seeing the power of God work on the inside of you powerfully and change you. You know, I love to talk about this kind of stuff just to have people live in joy and live in compassion rather than live in bitterness, anger, resentment, unforgiveness. Christians! And you're like, come on, dude. You know, Jesus forgave you. Just love people. You know, it's as if you deserve something. Somebody took something from you. And it's not through. God will repay. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Psalm 13. So Psalm 13, he starts out, how long will you forget me? Oh, isn't that awful? Isn't that a terrible thing, you know? I mean, that's David's first. But he's honest, and he's right up front. Whatever's right on the surface, David's not afraid to take it to God.
Right.
Psalm 13. David's not afraid to take whatever's on the surface to God. Don't be afraid to take what's on the surface to God. He's not mad. He doesn't mind. He, in fact, wants you to do it before it takes hold of you. You don't meditate on it. Give it. Put it out there. Amen? This is just you and God. This is just you and God. Don't meditate on your hurt, your fear, your worry. Don't worry. Don't do that. But give it away. Give it to God. Give it to God right away. Things happen quicker when you do that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good morning. Psalm 13. We're in Psalm 13. Just got it. Guess you got started. So how long will you forget me, O Lord? So that's his first thought, you know, is that I've had a heck of a week. I've had a heck of a day, you know. So how long will you forget me, O Lord? And then, forever? Yeah, so he makes even a suggestion. God, how long is it going to be that you're going to forget me? Forever? I mean, isn't that a funny way to talk to God? Isn't that a funny way to talk to God? You know, as David is talking to God. How long are you going to, hey, God, how long are you going to forget me? Like, forever? How long will you hide your face from me? So another, apparently David's frustrated, maybe a day or two, that he seems like God hadn't been with him. Amen. Praise God. So he felt like God's not with him. God's not on his side somehow. You know, you don't know what the circumstance was. He doesn't tell you. Verse 2, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily, and how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Now, we don't know if that was an enemy of somebody, you know, like a true person enemy, or whether it was an enemy of his soul. Okay? You don't know whether it was an enemy of his soul, of just fear, of something that has taken over your mind that won't let you go. That can happen, can't it? Anybody know that? Is that you can have some things that just keep you in bed. A lot of people, you know, get depressed, you know, and it's the certain things that are happening, and they just can't get out of it. So this enemy, how long will this enemy have authority over in my life? How long shall I take counsel in my soul? Now, taking counsel in your soul is going to be like you trying to counsel yourself. Amen. You trying to counsel yourself. You're trying to work through it on your own and taking inventory, taking stock, making a spreadsheet, figuring out whatever it was that, you know, you're going to be your own therapist. You are no good at it. Probably some therapist would probably tell you that. You know, it's like anybody who talks about a lawyer, what is it when you have your own, when you're trying to be your own lawyer, you have a fool for a client. It's probably the same true with therapy. You know, you're trying to dig yourself out of a hole. Well, you're down there in this hole with you. So you can't get yourself out of that hole. So you got to come to Jesus. You got to come to God. You got to come to God. Yeah. What's happening? Well, you know. And so God is there with you. He is there. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So, but now does David know this? How many, you know, it's just Psalm 13. Maybe he's only been a Christian for, you know, I know Jesus hasn't come and David doesn't know Jesus. But, you know, it's only Psalm 13. Maybe he's young yet. No, this will happen to you no matter what. Is that because you still have a flesh? Amen. You still have a flesh, and your flesh always will have the opportunity to respond to the world. Your flesh will always have an opportunity to respond to stimulus in the world. Hatred, anger, bitterness, cheating, lying, all these kinds of things. So he's saying, how long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever? You know, I mean, it seems like this has been forever. It's probably been one day. It's probably been 2 days, you know, right? Yeah, but you feel like it's forever. So how long will you hide your face from me? He's not hiding his face. How long shall I take counsel in my own soul? How long am I going to have to do this by myself? Sorrow in my heart daily. How long will my enemy be exalted over me? How long will this thing that is overtaking me be Lord instead of you? Number 3, verse 3 of Psalm 13. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Now he's starting to turn a corner. You know? Mm-hmm. He's starting to turn a corner here. Consider and hear me, O God. So now, you know, if God had forgotten you, but now all of a sudden you've got this in your heart. because you've meditated upon the truth. You know whom I have believed, and that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. So now he's got a God. Good. Lighten my eyes, or enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Come get me, Lord. Get me out of this, unless I could die. I could die. People who get depressed, they feel like they could die. You know, they just lay down. In fact, they'd prefer it. They'd prefer to lay down and die. You know, people, I mean, maybe it's been you. But God is getting you out of this. God is getting you out of, God will get you out of anything. And we're talking about you in your own mind and your own head and your own heart and your own meditations, right? This is what God is doing to get us out into the ministry. And I'm not just talking about pastors. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about somebody who wakes up on Monday through Friday, not the Sunday people. People waking up Monday through Friday to go out into the world, because that's where God has you. That's why you're breathing, right? Amen? Isn't that why you're breathing? Isn't that why you're living? Why you're waking up out of the bed every morning? It's because God has a ministry for you. This is the ministry of God for you. He's using you to declare His good news, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that He saved you. He got you out of this pickle. Somebody else is in the same pickle. They need out, but you got to get out of yours. Amen. You got to get out of yours. Amen. Because you want to be free, right? You want to be free. And you know that God loves you in your head. You know in your heart, head, you know, the part of you that's informed of your spirit, the part of you that's informed by the promises, informed by the Word of God, that's the part that brings you into fellowship with Him. That's what David's exercising here. This is like doing your calisthenics exercises. This is doing your exercises with Jesus. You're doing exercises with Jesus. And again, and none of this is about grace or being saved and that you're not saved yet or anything like that. This is the fact that God loves you even in your even if you're just living in squalor or living in bad news in a house full of trash. Amen. I mean, you know, some of you know you've got a house that's nice and clean and swept, and you know, then you got somebody else's house you go visit who's been filled with the devil, and their house is filled with junk and trash and just never been cleaned, you know, and you're going, wow, you know. Because when God comes in, what does He do? He cleans. When God comes in, He cleans, and He wants to clean me every single day, not when I'm just old and wicked and sinful and been through a lot. But like, you know, when I'm young, when I'm a kid, what God loves to do, He wants to keep me clean. Amen? He wants to keep me clean. All right, so here it is. Consider and hear me, verse 3. Psalm 13, verse 3. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Okay, so God, get me out. Thank you that you're getting me out of this. God, come. So he has faith to come to God and say, God, lest the devil win a victory. Lest the devil win a victory. I'm counting on you. I know you're coming to rescue me. I know you are rescuing me. Amen? And you start worshiping. You start thanking Him. You start talking about His provision. It's like I said over in James. We'll look at it in a minute. Verse 5, But I have trusted you. So he's now fully turned the corner. He has now fully turned the corner out of this. God, where are you? Verse 1. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And he closes his journal and goes on about his day. This is verse 6, and that's the end of the song. He must have had a meeting at 9. You know, he must have had a meeting early. It was a short psalm. It wasn't a 50-verse psalm. It was 6 verses. And he went from 0 to 100 in 6 verses. Do you know you can do that? Did you know you can do that? You can go from 0 to 100 in 6 verses. God will take you there. God will take you there. Get into His presence. You know, we talked about this, about, you know, Job, and talked about how Andrew does this. Pray and read your Bible, you know, for an hour every morning. I don't even do that good. So God is setting you free. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now that was Psalm 13. Now what I want to do is move on to Psalm 14. I want to see what kind of a progression he's in. Maybe it's the next day. I don't know. Maybe 14. Hey, maybe he skipped a bunch. I don't know. But Psalm 14 starts out with this. Now he's in total victory here at the end of Psalm 13, right? He's in total victory there. He says, now he's going to begin to. Now he's going into another place to declare something about something he has seen. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So this guy has just arrived at a victory, right? But then he looks at everybody around him and he says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. In other words, there are people who don't know what I just experienced. There are people who don't know it and deny God's power, His love, His mercy, His existence. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's just an observance. You know, I'm not telling you that this was definitely the next day. But just the way they're presented, the way the Psalms are put together in this in this book of Psalms is really very powerful, because God will reach out to you and He will use them to transform and change you. Amen. That's why God put his journal, David's journal, in here for you. Amen. He put His journal in here just for you. You know, wish I had Pastor Jim's journal. Well, just use this one. You know, this is the one you need. This is the one that God, because this is the journal that God wanted you to have to learn how to walk in victory. Amen? This is the one Pastor Jim had, actually. He had the same one you do. I wish I had Pastor Jim's. You know, this is it. He had the Bible. He had David's book of Psalms. You have the same thing. And the Holy Spirit is going to take it and transform and make you into a victorious, godly man or woman. Amen. I love to rejoice. I love to sing. I can be a grump, believe it or not. I have to ask Janet. You know, she'll know. You know, grump or this or that. Get irritated on one thing or another. But it doesn't keep me. It can't keep me. I never have trouble sleeping. You know, we had, you know, my mother-in-law moves in with us. You know, and now she doesn't remember anything, and she's, her hip is. You know, we're trying to get her up on that hip. She's 90 years old, you know. And so that changes your whole life. Amen. Changes Janet's life especially. That I got to live with her. So. And then, you know, then we have our little girls over here. Our grandkids living with Jordan and Robin living behind us, you know. Two grandkids who are, granddaughters who are, you know, in wheelchairs. You know, 2 out of 3 kids. And then we love those girls. My gosh, they're just so wonderful. But that's a different thing. That's a different thing, you know. So-and-so's grandkids don't do that. They get to go to McDonald's, just hop in the back seat of the car. Ours, we got to get the big, you know, van. Get the wheelchairs on there. 300-pound wheelchairs. Be careful! Don't let them run over you. You know. I mean, these are all things that are different. Amen. These are all things that could be a problem. But you determine in the name of Jesus that nothing moves me. Paul said, none of these things, he had all kinds of troubles, none of these things moves me. David said, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." Amen. So nothing moves. I say nothing moves, David. Nothing moves me. And you may try to catch me sometime, you know. "Hey, I saw you as grumpy. I saw you as didn't seem to be too happy about something." But no, I don't agree with that. I don't believe that. I don't live there. I'm not going to live in that little place where I get off on the side of the river and I'm getting out of the flow of the love of God and the joy of the Lord. Amen? You know, no matter how many people are here. I mean, we started out, Andrew was the only one here this morning. I think I was a little early anyway, so. But it's kind of like, you know, well, glory to God, Lord, here we are. You know, I love Andrew, but just one guy, and then here's Joe. And then, you know, all the rest of you show up. Praise the Lord. It's exciting. It's exciting. Amen. Well, God is so good. Now look, here, Psalm 14, we're moving forward. "The fool has said in his heart," David says, "the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that does good." Those are the ones who say there's no God. The ones that God is talking about. They're abominable. These people who say no God, they are, you know, wicked. Verse 2, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand or seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together. They are altogether become filthy, and there is none that does good, no, not one." Of course, we have that repeated over in Romans chapter 3. There is none that does good, no, not one. So we've come out of this victorious Psalm 13, but we recognize there are people in the world who say there is no God. The view that there is no God produces wickedness. Every man doing what was right in his own eyes. You remember over in the book of Genesis, over in the book of Judges. You know, after Moses and Joshua had died, you know that, you know, every man did what was right in his own eyes. You know, before Noah, the thought of every man was only evil continually. So that's what happens when men think it's up to them. When men think it's up to them, it's just evil. Evil. Because God didn't create you to be on your own. God created you to have a relationship with Him. I met a guy yesterday, a carpet salesman, who'd apparently done work for us back in, you know, when we were in Grapevine, you know. And we were doing another job for somebody, helping somebody. And just talking to the guy. And, I mean, he probably was a very nominal Christian. But he just knew that God is in control of all things. And that you just pay attention to what He says, and he'll take care of it all. He's 79 years old, said, I've had a good life. And none of his testimony was anything like, you know, drugs or stealing, or nobody's going to testify about that anyway. But I mean, his testimony was positive. Just sitting there, I mean, it was just an enjoyable conversation talking about somebody who recognized there's a God in the world. Yeah. Amen? Amen. So powerful. That's the difference between somebody who is just going to, you know, walk. You know, and a dog, like Jim used to say, dog eat dog. You know, that's the world, right? Dog eat dog. I love that. Because that's your vision, your picture. Somebody sent me a picture. Somebody sent us a picture yesterday of a rat snake or something like that. I said, "What kind of snake is this?" Susie over in Fort Worth. "What kind of snake is this?" Then I'd zoom in on the snake, and I said, "What kind of a head is on that snake?" No, the snake had a hold of a frog.
Gross.
And she was wanting to know what kind of a snake this was. I said, "Is that a frog?"
Frog snake.
Yeah. And Susie has, it says, you know, Dean is a character, her husband. And she said, and she usually doesn't say stuff like this, but my hero Dean went and killed the snake and threw it over the back thing, you know. But I mean, you know, that's a snake eating a frog. I mean, that kind of gives you an example. This is the world, right? Snake eat frog, dog eat dog. All right, now, in chapter 14 again, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that does good, no, not one. Verse 4, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people that they eat as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? Have they no knowledge? I mean, what? I mean, God shows up, Romans chapter 1, God is in the world, isn't he? God shows up in the world and people are just stupid. They're just on their own. They're just on their own. They call not upon the name of the Lord. Verse 5, there were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. The one thing they're afraid of is you and me. One thing of people in the world are afraid of is us. They're afraid of the righteous. Why do you think we have the politics we have today? It is time to get rid of the righteous. It's time to shut them down. Glory to God. We're going to shut down the righteous. See, the wicked desire to destroy the work of God. But here we back up into Psalm 13. We have David who's having victory when the enemy comes in. When the enemy tries to make you deceive you, the enemy tries to get you to think that you it's you and me against the world. But it's not. It's you and God against the wicked and against this world. You're in victory from the moment you open your eyes. You're in victory today. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, I was talking about my mother-in-law. I mean, she just gets because her memory has gotten to where I don't even know where I'm at or where I'm at or, you know, where I'm staying or, you know, and she forgets it every 5 minutes when you tell her, you know. And I'm encouraging her in the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are perfect, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. And she repeats it. She says, think on these things. I said, yes. You got to get back to the scriptures and tell you, because she knows that. That's one of the things she does remember.
Hallelujah.
You know, this is dementia, it's not Alzheimer's. She's not forgetting us. She just forgets short-term stuff. But so thank God. She's remembering the scripture. And that's what I'm encouraging her, right? Is that to think on these things. So whatever you don't know, think on what you do know. Think on what you do know. What if things are going totally wrong? Think on what you do know. I know God's for me, and He can't be against me, and He won't ever be. All things are working together for the good of them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. So they can't not.
Even if Kamala makes verses.
You who?
That's right.
They can't not. What can't not? They, those things, all things. We're talking about things, right? Things, all things work together for good. In other words, if you're to play dice, it always comes out, what's good on dice? I'll catch somebody, right? Somebody who knows. Navy guy. See, I told you he knew. Is snake eyes any good? Is snake eyes in it? Snake eyes is bad? Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're throwing the dice, it all comes up seven every time.
That's us.
That's what happens to you. Well, it doesn't seem to. Those girls aren't out of those wheelchairs yet. Hey, I get seven. Glory to God. They got seven. Those girls have seven. Amen? See, I'm just an excited person. I'm like Alex singing. I'm a very excited person. I love Jesus, and I know He's on my side. I know He loves me. I know He loves, you know, my kids, my daughters, my sons. You know, I know He loves Judah and Shiloh and Gabby. I know He loves Judah and Brazos. You know, and all your other old kids too. Amen. He loves them all, and He's got everything all set up for their benefit and their blessing. Amen. Just like Margaret, everything's going her way. Amen. Because the truth is the truth. And it's not subject to our circumstances and the lies. Amen? So again, that the world would just, or they don't like the righteous. It's stupid. It's stupid to not love the righteous. Because when the wicked rule, the people mourn. But when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Everybody's rejoicing. You know, stock market's up. When the righteous rule, everything is going our way. But when the wicked rule, they just want to have their own little peace and shut everybody else down. Because they don't know how to do it right. They don't know how to do it right. See, God knows how to do it right. The wicked don't know. All they know is how to get their own. A friend of mine preaches, says, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. That's the wicked. Verse 6 in chapter 14, you have shamed the counsel of the poor because the Lord is his refuge. You ever seen the poor? Did you know the Lord is his refuge? You should tell the poor, the Lord is your refuge. The Lord is your refuge. Doesn't matter if he's poor in spirit or poor in money. The Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord brings back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. Well, we're in that time now, right? God is, he's bringing back. Now, Israel became a nation, but they hadn't received the fullness of it yet. They thought we did it. You know, hey, we did it. Glory to God. You know, we made a... But God said, no, I just want you all in one place so that I can show my glory. God wanted Israel all in one place so he could show them it's not them, but it's him. And so they're all going to see it together. God is going to bless Israel. But he's going to put them all, he's got them all in one place right now. And the enemy is like, good. We got them all in one. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. We can get them all right now. Just one nuke the whole thing. Just one little nuke right there will do the job. You know, the enemy loves to do that, but God is going to turn the whole thing around, and God is going to bless Israel because God's determined to bless you, and God's determined to bless Israel. God's determined to bless you. God's determined to bless Israel. The wicked don't win. The wicked don't win. The wicked don't win. Say it, the wicked don't win.
The wicked don't.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Now, look at chapter 15. Okay, so we had God, how long? David was whining about his own problems there, but he knew how to get out quickly. Then he starts preaching about how it's the fool that said in his heart there is no God. That the fool and the wicked are losing out. They're losing because they have opposed God. And now chapter 15. Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? He's inviting people in now. Who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who should dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Now, where does that come from?
Jesus.
It comes from Jesus. And where did David get it? David got it from Jesus. David got it from spending time out in the field with his sheep, worshiping God. He couldn't read the Psalms. He hadn't wrote them yet. But he was reading the story of the deliverance of God's people from Pharaoh. He was reading the story of how God worked in Samson, God worked in Gideon, God worked in the judges. How God opposed Balaam. Amen. So David had these stories of God's goodness and God's faithfulness. And he began to walk in the presence of God. He began to walk with God, and God formed him. You know, God will form you.
Hallelujah.
God will form you. He will turn you, put you into His presence, and you'll come out looking like James chapter 1. You're looking in the mirror of the Word of God, and you're being changed and transformed. God changes and transforms you. You do not lose, you win. Amen? You live in the presence of God. Jim, did you ever know Jim to be depressed? I bring him up because, you know, he's our pastor for 40 years, you know, and we all knew him for, y'all knew him for a good 30. And that's what we continue to preach, is God's favor, God's blessing, God's glory. And it's not about you behaving and catching up. It's about Him, you living in His presence, and Him transforming and changing you. Amen? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, that's the person who's dwelling in the tabernacle of God. Now, verse 3 says, he that backbites not with his tongue. Well, you know, over in James it says, he that bridleth not his tongue is not someone who is demonstrating that he's been the Holy Spirit is ruling in him. I'll read that one. We read that last night. James chapter 1, verse 26. If any man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue. Well, there's the dead giveaway, isn't it? The dead giveaway is if your tongue is wild. If your tongue doesn't, James chapter 1, verse 26. If your tongue doesn't know how to behave, then here's a good question as to whether or not you're spending time in the presence of Jesus. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. All his good works are vain. Because the religion is the good works, right? The product. Even the product is vain. Now, you know, people like the food you gave them, but it doesn't do you any good. It doesn't help you at all. Doesn't help you at all. All these blessings that you're doing, it's just a lot of hard work if you're bitter when you're doing it. Now, so verse 3 in chapter 15, Psalm 15. He that backbites not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. Takes up an offense. That means you're taking up an offense against somebody. We talked about that earlier. You're not offended, are you? I'm not offended. See, that's how I'm talking about forgiveness. Right? Talking about forgiveness. Again, this is not about, well, you know, you behaving so that Jesus will like you. No, Jesus absolutely likes you, but you're cutting off the blessing of God, just living in the world, by abrogating, you know, any command of God. Amen? Love your neighbor. Forgive your neighbor. Bless them. Bless, Jesus said it, bless them that curse you. Somebody makes you walk 1 mile, walk with him too. If he makes you give him a coat, give him your coat, give him your cloak also. Amen. You don't have any needs. God loves you. You love the world. So, Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? And who shall dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness, speaks the truth in his heart, him that backbites not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against an offense against his neighbor, for in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honors them that fear the Lord. He honors them that fear the Lord. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. In other words, if you promise to do something, you do it. Just do it. If you promise to do something, you do it. You follow through. I'll be there. I'll do it. He that puts not out money to usury, nor takes reward against the... In other words, and that had to do with, oh, you need some money? Well, here, I'm going to charge you twice. I'm going to charge you twice. Now, there's a business that goes along in lending money that's fine. But if you're doing it, is basically if you're lending money to somebody who needs money, and then you're going to catch them, and you're going to have them in a bondage for the rest of their life. That's wicked. That's evil. You know, you agreed to buy a house and borrow hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, somebody is, so it's you know, I'll lend you that money at a certain, all written down in a contract, you agreed to it. But somebody who has a need for something, a need for that money, and you're gonna punish them, and you're gonna, you know, treat them poorly. He that puts out not his money to usury, nor takes reward against the innocent. He that does these things shall never be moved. So we've gone from a guy who's all depressed, getting victory in a moment, and telling how the evil are against the righteous, but how do the righteous treat the world? Treat everybody. So this Psalm 13, 14, and 15, it's a meditation for us of how to walk with God and how to walk in this world. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Psalm 13, 14, and 15. I encourage you to read it and meditate on it. Amen?
Thank you, Jesus.
Over in Psalm 27, just, you know, where he says here at the beginning of Psalm 15, who shall abide in your tabernacle and who shall dwell in your holy hill? Of course, we have Psalm 91 that he that dwelleth in the secret place. We talked about this a few weeks ago. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Almighty shall abide, or in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then look at Psalm 27. Verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that's like David coming out of that bad place. And then he says there in Psalm 15, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Over in Psalm 27, verse 5. Well, God's a good God.
Amen.
Amen. I hope you're blessed this morning.
Jesus.
Preaching's good because you can be blessed. Y'all ought to try it. Amen.